Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, also Rogate, is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and we will read from verse 22 through verse 29. It's John 14, 22 through 29, where we read in the name of our Lord. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this your word. We pray, Father, that you would give us the hearing of the same through your Spirit. That by that word, Father, we may so be conformed to the image of your Son and walk in newness of life, even as he has made all things new. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And we do talk about this term. It's a Latin word, rogate. Rogate just simply is a derivation of the Latin word rogo, which is pray, I pray. Rogate actually comes to this point of understanding that for 3 days, actually, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we pray. We pray in expectation of the celebration of the Ascension on Thursday. The Ascension is probably the most ignored event in the life of Jesus. And it's kind of inexcusable. The ancient church did not ignore it. They took it very seriously, which is why they set up those 3 days of prayer. It was to understand very clearly exactly what God did in fulfilling the ministry of Jesus Christ and what would take place in relationship to this. And that's why this text is very often the text before the Ascension, is to understand what really takes place at the Ascension. It's to realize this necessity that now there is this marvelous thing that has taken place that people have a hard time understanding. In Judas, who is the other Judas, not the one that betrays Jesus, asks a very simple question. How is it going to be that we're going to be able to see you and other people won't? How is it that we're going to be able to do this? And that's kind of like a simple question. You would think that's kind of like a simple little thing, but really it's very, very important to understand that the reality is that no one could really see or know God. Apart from God choosing to make himself known to people, we really wouldn't know him. And that's where we really get into the depth of the Ascension. The depth of the Ascension really brings us to this place of understanding, well, now we can know God. You understand that during the whole time that Jesus was walking on the earth, no one really knew who he was. Even the disciples struggled with knowing who he was. At times they would seem to know, and other times they'd seem to like, they didn't know what he was doing. They didn't understand him. There was no assurance of this. There was no confidence in any of this. It's through the ascension. It's by the power of the ascension. It's by Jesus rising to be with the Father and ascending into the heavens that now the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is now poured out upon humankind. The Holy Spirit is now freely given so that people may know their God, that people may see and understand their God, that they would realize that their God is present with them. And that's why Jesus answers this in the way that he does. He says, if anyone loves me, they'll keep my word. He says, what's going to happen is when the Spirit comes, he says, you're going to understand what I was talking about. And when you understand what I'm talking about, if you keep that word, then as a matter of fact, you're going to realize how much God loves you. God is going to love you effusively. God is going to love you. And that's why I tell people all the time, if you're ever wondering what's going on in your life, or you're ever wondering, you know, does God love you, pick up your Bible and read it. You know, pick up your Bible, read one of the greetings of St. Paul in one of his epistles, and see how wonderfully God loves you. Because that's really the key to understand. God really does love us. God made us to be saints. God made us to be holy in his sight. God washed us and cleansed us from our sin. He made us pure so that we could walk in newness of life. And we all know how we get in life, especially us who live up here, you know, who live in the north and who come with that nice European blood. That means we brood over everything. There's nothing that we quite can really be happy about. If we ever get happy, we do whatever we can to kind of tamp that down, to make sure we don't get too happy, because then people are going to think we're like Pentecostals or something like that, you know? And then all of a sudden, if that happens, oh, a terrible thing, you know, that we should be that happy. Read sometime what God says about you and then try not to be happy. What God says about us is the greatest thing you can possibly ever imagine. God says we are the beloved offspring of God. We are raised to newness of life. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he doesn't remain distant from us at all, but he, as a matter of fact, indwells us. He lives with us constantly. And this is what Jesus was talking about, that we would understand, that we would hear by the power of the word, that we would know by the Holy Spirit, and we would understand the love of God. We would understand the depth of God's love for us. That day in and day out, that would abide with us. In that whenever we reached the point where we thought that maybe it couldn't be true, that the Spirit of God would be what would be reminding us. That all the time it would be the Spirit of God telling us, oh, no, no, don't you for a minute think that your God doesn't love you. Don't you for a minute begin to think that somehow or another, you know, that God has forgotten about you. Don't you begin to think that for a second. Because it isn't possible. It isn't possible. God says that we're even so dear to him, we're like graven on the palm of his hand. He loves his people so deeply that they're etched forever in his beingness. One of my professors always used to say, talking about the corpus, talking about the crucifix, he used to bring up all the time, he would say, you tell me, what is the picture that's etched forever in the mind of God? He says, his son hanging on that cross. And you understand he hangs there for you. He hangs there for you. His son hangs there for you. He stays there for you. He suffers for you. He dies for you. He rises for you. So that we would understand very clearly, is there anything more that God could do? Is there some greater thing that he could do? No, there isn't a greater thing that he could ever do. So that we would understand the depth of his nearness, the power of his love, and we would know the essence of his grace. And this is why Jesus says, anyone who doesn't follow these things, he says they can't hear. They're not hearing this. Because once you hear the word and you understand the word, he says, this word doesn't come forth from me. This is my Father talking to you. He says, my Father is talking to you. So I've spoken these things while I was here, but I could only do so much. And this is what he says, I could only do so much. He says, as long as I'm in the physical body, I can only do so much. He says, but the advocate is going to come to you. And that's a very interesting word in Greek. It means the one who stands in your place. The one who stands in your place, the advocate. He says, I'm going to send to you. And that's the Holy Spirit. He says, the Father is going to send him. When I rise and I ascend, he says, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to bring to your memory all the things that I said to you. He's the one that's going to do this for you. Now, you may think you need to do this. And that's what happens all the time. Is we get to this point where we think, well, I got to do that. You know, I got to do this thing. You know, now I lay this on me and now I start living according to the law again. Now I understand. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Instead of understanding, well, no, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says what we need to understand is it's the Holy Spirit of God that is going to do this work. And he is going to bring to your memory, he says, all the things that I myself said to you. Everything I told you. So that you would remember this. And this is why we need to engage the word through the Holy Spirit of God. We need to understand and go back. Because day in and day out, and you know this. You know this just as well as I do. We are a brooding people. That sounds kind of funny, but we really are. And if it weren't true, believe me, we wouldn't have the news. Because the news counts on the fact that we brood. The news counts on the fact that we are concerned. The news counts on the fact that we are worry warts. And if there's nothing to worry about, they will give us something to worry about. If you're not worried about an asteroid hitting the Earth in another 1,000 years, let me tell you, read the news. They'll tell you it could happen. It could happen. There's only a 1 in 3 trillion chance that it will happen. But in 2063, an asteroid could come somewhere close to the Earth. So you better be prepared and buy gold. And you understand what I'm talking about. This is the way this thing works. And every time that commercial comes on, you should just open up your Bible and understand what St. Peter says. St. Peter says, silver and gold, I don't have any of that. He says, what I do have, I freely give to you. And he says to that man, rise up and walk. And the guy rises up and walks. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you, the power of the Holy Spirit that is with you, the God who indwells you, is greater than any riches and greater than any power on the face of this earth. And he is your advocate, the scripture says. He's your advocate. He stands in your place. And that's why Jesus says, so I give you peace. You understand this. We greet each other all the time with God's peace. We don't do that because it's like some secret little thing, you know. It's not like our little decoder ring or things like that that we run around, you know, where we turn around and we say, well, now we've approved of you because we greet you with God's peace. We don't believe in any of that. That's slop. The reason why we greet you with God's peace is because God gave his peace. He gave his peace to us. So that we can greet each other with God's peace. And you bet I have a lot of fun with this. You know, and I don't mean to mean demeaning about this, but I will shake hands and wish God's peace to all sorts of people, and they don't know what to say back to me. You know, they'll look at me like, and then you can tell if they were raised liturgically, because then they'll turn around and say, and also with you. And it's like this sort of thing that you understand. Well, no, this isn't like some formal thing. This is just the simple reality of what God has given to us. God's peace. We say God's peace. Why? Because Jesus gave us peace so that we would have peace, so that we would understand in a world of turmoil, in a world of difficulty, in all of the things that swirl around us, there's peace from God. Peace from God. And when we're caught up in the swirl of things, it's very important for us to understand there's peace from God. God is reconciled to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's reconciled. He doesn't have anything against us. The sin has been taken away through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't have anything against us. We have peace. And that's why Jesus says, this isn't peace like the world gives peace. He says, I'm giving you real peace. And he says, so don't be agitated in your heart. He says, don't be agitated in your heart. And he says, and don't be cowardly. You don't have to be afraid of asteroids. You don't have to prepare your bomb shelter for the asteroid that might possibly come in a 1 in 3 trillion chance in 2063 and may come somewhere near the Earth. There's no need for you to be concerned about that because God, as a matter of fact, takes care of the asteroids in the same way he takes care of the Earth. He knows exactly where they're all at, knows exactly what's going on with all of those things. And let me tell you, if God decides to hit the Earth with an asteroid, let me tell you what that bomb shelter is going to do for you. That would be a whole lot of nothing. You know, so save yourself the money on the bomb shelter and read the scripture. Read the scripture. And understand, this is how close God is to us. And Jesus says, I want you to understand. He says, that's why I told you. I'm withdrawing from you. I have to go. He says, I have to go, but I'm also coming back. You can rest assured I will come back for you. And he says, if you really understood what I was talking about, if you really loved me, if you really knew what I was talking about, which I know that you can't, he says, because as of yet, that hasn't been manifested for you. He says, but if you knew, he says, you'd be happy in that I'm going to the Father, in that the Father is greater than me. And a lot of people have used this to like talk about the Trinity and things like that. He's not talking about the Trinity here at all. What he means by this is I'm subject to the Father. What the Father says, I do. That's all he means by this. The Father is the instructor. He is the one that does this. It's the Father that's going to raise me from the dead. It's the Father who does this. I'm obedient to the Father. And he says, and so should you be. He says, so you should be obedient to the Father too. He says, so I told you this so that you would understand in relationship to this, that you would realize this is a better plan. He says, the plan for you is way better than me staying here. If I stay here, he says, this plan can only go so far. He says, as long as I stay here in this form, I'm not going to get every place in the world. I'm not going to be able to do those things. He says, if you receive the Holy Spirit, he says, then by the coming of the Holy Spirit, not only will you be present in Jerusalem and this area that I've covered? He says, but you're going to cover the world with this thing. And that's why he says, greater things, he says, you will do. Well, how could that ever be possible? How are you going to do something greater than raising people from the dead? It's not magnitude he's talking about. It's scope. He means now, once the Holy Spirit has come, now this is going to go out into all the world. Now the message is going to cover the globe. And as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh so that people will be able to hear this and you will reap the harvest of this. He says, let's just do this according to the Father's plan. He says, the Father's plan is much better in relationship to this. He says, so now I told you this so that when it happens, he says, you would have faith. And of course, we know he is to ascend to the Father. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit will be manifested upon the apostles. And from that day forward, the word of God will go forth with might and power in the heart of these very cowardly individuals who could not follow Jesus before. Now they will follow him even unto death. What we need to realize is that's the same spirit that he gives to us. It's the same thing. Nothing changed. He gave us the same spirit. He ascended to the Father so that we would receive the Holy Spirit, that God would no longer be a distant figure to us out there floating in the ether someplace, that now God would be a present reality for us, that this would be our everyday existence. Your everyday existence. I want you to understand what we think is great. What we think is great is if somebody can hold on to a hunk of pigskin and win the Super Bowl. We think that's great. Let me tell you how long that lasts. That lasts 1 year at best. We think it's great when somebody can put on a TikTok video and they get so many likes, or I don't even know what you get on TikTok. You get all these sort of things like that. That makes you great. Let me tell you how long that lasts. That lasts until the next greater TikTok video comes in, which is normally a puppy, because nobody can compete with puppies. What we esteem as being great is really not very great. It's really not very great. And it's extremely transient. What is great is you. It's you that Jesus died for. It's you. He died for you. He counted you worthy of his death. And he counted you worthy of his blood. And he counted you worthy of his resurrection. And he ascended to the Father for you, that you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that by the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit, you would realize how great your God truly is, and how great your God, how greatly he loves you, and you would understand how great you are. And the devil lies to you all the time. He tries to tell you all the time, well, you're not that great. You are not that significant. You're really not that important. And as a matter of fact, if something happens to you, the world won't even hiccup, and nothing could be further from the truth. Your God holds you so preciously in his hand that the scripture says there is nothing that happens to us. There's not even a hair that falls from our head. And some of us, you know, we've lost plenty of that. And you understand right away, there isn't a hair that falls from our head that God is not aware of, that he does not know. Because of how precious in his sight we are. And this is why we need to come to the point of understanding the ascension. The ascension is so important in realizing this was God's plan, that the Son, as the renewed human being, would rise to the Father, and he would send the Holy Spirit so that the testimony of God would be in our hearts, so that there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. That the power of that Holy Spirit would testify to this reality, that walking through this life, frail people though we be, weak people though we be, troubled people though we be, whatever we've got, that God's grace and God's love would remain steadfast in us by faith, and we could trust in him so that we could live with his peace, to live in peace. Do you live in peace? See, that's always the tricky thing, isn't it? Do you live in peace? Or are you agitated all the time? Are you worried all the time? Then turn off the news. And open this up. What your God says about you is remarkable. Because Jesus has ascended to the Father. And he has shed abroad his Holy Spirit to testify to us, to tell us, you needn't be concerned about a thing, he says. He says, there is no need for you to worry. There is no need for you to be agitated. There is no need for you to be agitated here. And as he opens this chapter, he told them, there's no reason for you to be agitated because your Father has prepared a place for you. He says, I'm going to establish that place for you. And if you come to church Wednesday night, then you'll find out the rest of it. But I'm not going to tell you now. Because the other thing you can't compete with is food. No way to compete with food. And that smells really good down there. So just understand, God doesn't have a problem with food either. He doesn't mind that we're fed, that we're taken care of, that he supplies our every need. He doesn't mind it at all. He wants us to be engaged in those things. He wants us to receive the blessing that he's given to us. And he isn't just waiting to pull the rug out from under us. The more we receive, the more he gives. And the more he gives, the more we are able to give ourselves. And the giving continues because the Holy Spirit of God is upon us. And we live in his grace and in his peace. So be at peace. And when we're done, go eat. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for the abundant gift of your Son, the power of his resurrection, and of his ascension. That, Father, now through the Spirit, we are able to know you and we are able to abide in you. And we are able, Father, to find rest and peace. We pray, Father, that you would just let your peace fall upon this place. Bless us, Father, in our time of fellowship. And, Father, in every way, enable us by that same gospel to bring that peace into this world, because this world is a troubled place. And people desperately need to hear the beauty of the gospel. And we pray, Father, that so you would bring it forth in us and through us, that in every way your name would be hallowed and glorified. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.